This is a poem about my children. It starts with the birth of my second daughter. I had placenta previa, which means that the placenta had slipped down over the cervix. So they had to perform a cesarean before there was any chance of labor or we would have died. Placenta previa, cesarean. The doctor is standing over me and we were all on friendly terms. But I could smell my burning flesh and had felt the knife as well. The anesthesiologist and I were so witty, but all our jokes couldn't make the spinal stop the pain, so he closed the mask over my mouth. And I woke in pain, and there were yellow daisies and more pain, and you were okay, but in some far room in a cage of your own. You had been taken so early, and you needed more womb, poor baby. I want my baby. And they kept me from you. You've just had surgery, and the needle in my arm again. Not until evening, when another supervisor came on. She came to see why I was so much trouble. My baby, my baby. I sobbed, and the nurse said, see? And the woman glared at her. Of course she's upset. She wants to see her baby. And your daddy put me in a chair and wheeled me to your cage, and you were so tiny. I thought you had a pretty tan, but they said it was jaundice. Your tiny chest heaving and heaving, and no one told me I could touch you. No one told me. Not one doctor or nurse, not your father. And everything had to be so sterile in your cage, so I twisted my hands and wept, rocking to hold you. My baby, my baby. And when they called the doctor that night to come save you, they didn't even wake me. They thought I was that weak after my precious operation. Oh, child, the wonder is not that it took us 16 months to love each other. The wonder is that errors can be overcome, that a baby torn from one sleeping belly can be as loved as a child held wet and red in exhausted arms. And next day we covered our hands with rubber with talcum on it and reached into you, held your tiny, lonesome hands and prayed, welcome, welcome, baby, welcome, little Kia. We can't wait to hold you. Please, honey, breathe well. Please breathe, please. Oh, baby, please. And the doctors called it a miracle. And the next day they let you out and into my arms. Oh, baby, my breasts were so swollen, and when you turned your tiny face to me, your little sleeping eyes, oh, child. But then they took you right back. And the third day everything was windswept. The whole day was a prayer. Your tiny, tired eyes, still not open. The fourth day I cried, let me out, and the doctor did, and we rode home, your baby smell warm in my arms, the children waiting and eager with presents and a little frightened, but I was more frightened and wouldn't let anyone touch you. No, she lived. Wait till she's stronger, and I fell into bed, feeling guilty at turning the children away, and so tired. Oh, baby, neither of us was dead. Neither of us was dead. And now, your sister's father, someplace away, away, and no letters for 6 months. He didn't even tell her if his second child came and gave her another sister. She needs more of my love to make up for that aborted father. But I love both of you. God forgive me. I cannot love her twice as much to make up for no father. I love both of you. And all those years, nobody loved me except her. And I screamed at her and spanked her and threw her on the bed and slammed the door when I was angry and desperate for her father's love. I can't undo all those times I frightened her and she loved me. She still loves me. I can't undo needing and being tortured with loneliness until I cried out at her who loved me, even in my needy loneliness. And how do mothers, unloved, love their children? The wonder is that we do. We do not leave the little girl. We cry out in our terror, and we love our little girls who must have a better life. They must not wait eternally for men to love them and fill them up. They must live. And we do what we can. And the wonder is that mistakes are not permanent, that we can go insane with pain and be locked away and come back loving our babies and they loving us and kissing us on the knee while we stand bent over at the sink weeping. The wonder is that our children want us to be happy and they love us. And they know why we strike out and they love us. The ones who were born red and wet, the ones who were lifted delicately from our bellies, the ones who came to us from some other bed as desperate for love as we are, the wonder is that there's enough love to go around. And we love, too. This much I've learned in these 5 years and what I've spent and earned. Time does not finish a poem. That's by Jack Spicer. I'm not sure it's ended. I lived the births. I wrote the poem, but the children are calling me, and there is more, more to it than the spewing forth. I made 4 designs tonight and asked, now what? Do I put them in a drawer? If they were oil paintings, I could sell them, watch them hang in museums. But they're not. They're just designs, just colored paper cut up pretty. And the house so full, art here, art there, photos, drawings, embroidery, our every mood caught in stitches or folded up in books. Those designs overcrowd the place, and what excuse do I have to give them to friends? Christmas is over. So here I sit with 2 kids whose lives grow beyond me. Some woman sneered at me in the parking lot because my kid walked in front of her car. And designs crowding the spaces. A child with untamable curly blonde hair. I call her Kia, pine nut person, and her eyes so open as she watches me try to capture her as I try to name her. The guilt again, right of her older sister. Everyone loves babies. What of the lonely 7-year-old? 7 and a half, Mommy. Watching TV in the front room. Yes, what of her? What of yesterday when she chased the baby in my room and I screamed, out, out, get out! And she ran right out. But the baby stayed unafraid. What is it like to have a child afraid of you? Your own child. Your first child. The one you're expected to be most nervous with. The one no one expects you to be perfect with. Except women in parking lots. The one who must forgive you if either of you are to survive. What, after the absolution, how is it? Do I never cause her to cry again? Do I learn and never mistreat her? Even when for 6 days I've been trapped in the house, listening for coughs in the night, my thighs heavy with disuse, and she runs in when I'm trying to sneak some privacy, then do I still not yell at her, only quietly explain, I cannot stand it. I must have time, a little time. A quiet space, and she nods and backs out, pulling the baby with her. Oh, is that better? You woman sneering at me from your car, you white man, telling me I must remove my baby from the ballet. Her delighted dancing disturbs the lead-ass audience. You told me we must go, but we stayed. We stayed. Is that better, to state the pain in quiet desperation and watch her never be a child? Childhood doesn't exist, Brenda reassured me. But when her eyes look flat, when she knows so much, did I educate her too well? Oh, is it better? Oh, could I have done it any other way? Are there more than 2 answers? When do I know I did all right? If I die before she does, then did I do all right? Her every fear terrifies me. Sometimes I think no one likes me, she confessed. Sometimes I think you're all pretending. And I wait for news from her father. I wait for her to mention him. I wait and wait. The function of a woman is to wait, I read, and leaned back in the rocking chair, relieved that I finally knew what I was for and why with her in my belly I was a lady in waiting. But I'm still waiting, and she was born in 1964. Maybe we are happy and just don't know it. The baby sucking her bottle and holding onto my knee as I write this, my belly twisting with pain. If I go to the other room, she will follow me there. I am not yet allowed any perspective. And how right is it to shut her out of the room so I can write about her? How human, how loving, how can I even try to name her? Maybe they could manage without me. Maybe I could steal away a little time in a different room. But they all still loved me when I came back. 3. And now they're away and I miss them. All the things I wanted to do while they're with Dad, all those things are beige and gray, to see people who love me less than the children do, those adults who rarely call. I figured out today every woman friend who claims to love me but never comes by has children. Do they think I would not welcome their children? Do they think they cannot move without a babysitter? They get babysitters so they can go to a movie. Maybe if I charged them $1.75, they'd think I was a movie. The house is silent. It's nice sometimes to be quiet, to have no interruptions. It's nice to write something longer than 6 lines. It's nice to play a record,
and not have to watch the record player. I wish I could enjoy it. It's nice to hold a warm little person, to receive kisses, and feel little arms around your neck. Does it make any sense that raising children is a burden? Does it make any sense that we must always be in pain? No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. When Indians saw white people spank their children, they thought at first that whites hated their children, then decided, since that was ridiculous, that it was a religious rite, exorcism, or something. Why must I be a watchdog for 24 hours? And then when quiet comes, why must I be lonely? We live wrong. Our lives are wrong. To trap us in houses with no help, to be sole guardians for little people, our lives are wrong. And who will write them? I am trying. I cannot do it alone, even for myself. I cannot do it alone.